Hi, I'm Bill Glovin, and this is the Cerebrum Podcast. Our guest today is Emmy Award-winning journalist Charlie Rose. We're live from the Charlie Palmer Steakhouse in Washington, D.C. In about an hour or so, Charlie is going to be presented with the inaugural Dana Public Outreach Award for his commitment to educating the public about the importance of brain research through his PBS show, through one-on-one interviews and roundtable discussions. Since 1991, Charlie has interviewed at least 80 notable neuroscientists in just about every specialty. Presenting the award to Charlie will be Nobel laureate Eric Kandel, a longtime friend. In 2009, they co-hosted the Brain Series on PBS. There have been 32 programs so far. The videos can be viewed for free on the Charlie Rose website. Well, enough from me. Welcome, Charlie, and thanks so much for taking a few minutes to chat. Let's begin with, you've pretty much covered everything under the sun. What sparked your interest in brain research?
Well, because it's a pleasure to be here. You know, I've learned to love neuroscience and learned to love the neuroscientists that I have met. And we've had, and when you think about it, 39 episodes of a brain series, that spreads out over 4 years. And we continue to do it. Began with a basic understanding of the brain, explaining the brain, and then we went into diseases of the brain, and then we had people who were living with diseases, and we've continued, and it's a remarkable exploration of the future for us, and we realize how much there is to know and how little, in a sense, we do know when you consider the remarkable opportunity now with all kinds of new evidence and new experiments. So what sparked my curiosity was that this is really the frontier of science. What we are understanding about the brain is giving us such an answer to some of the fundamental questions. And for me, that was an opportunity to seize.
How did you and Eric Kandel come to meet, and what do you think you've learned from one another?
Well, he probably learned very little from me, and I learned a lot from him, probably. I would say, what happened to Eric had a book. And so we like books on my program. And so we invite him to come. And in having him talk about his life from Vienna to New York, talk about from psychiatry to neuroscience, talk about, you know, the excitement he feels about understanding memory, you know, I began to realize that this was someone that I would have back. And so as we began to talk about the kinds of programs that we might do, you know, we realized that we could do a series. It turned out to be not just a series, but 4 series. And we will probably inaugurate a new one soon.
You're receiving a public outreach award for your contributions to communicating brain research. Do you think the brain gets its due in the mainstream media?
Considering how significant it is, probably not. Considering that it is an exciting subject, I think people are fascinated by it. So you can never get enough. I mean, I feel this way not just about the brain, which, as I suggested, is on the frontier of science, but about science generally. When you look around, science is what has, I think, powered our way forward. And certainly understanding the way what makes us the way we are is a powerful question. And so people are fascinated by that. But it is so significant that you can never pay enough attention to it. And it's up to people like me with Eric and others, because we've had, as you suggested, so many people, so many neuroscientists, and so many Nobel laureates come to my table. It's up to us together, you know, to explain it in a compelling way, so that people are excited about it, they want to know more about it. I mean, a one-hour television program simply gives you an incentive to go further.
I'm talking about explaining it in a compelling way. Part of my role as at Cerebrum is to educate the public about brain research. Since neuroscientists are writing the articles, the science can get pretty dense and difficult to decipher at times. Can you offer any advice in terms of not only making complex topics like the human genome or microbiota or the Human Connectome Project understandable, but also getting people excited about it?
Sure, I can. I mean, tell them a story. I mean, the secret to, the secret to learning, in a sense, complicated subjects is to tell a story, to make it, and the more interesting it is, the more compelling it is, the more people will access it, the more people will be excited about it. Take it, and at the same time, be able to communicate the sheer amazing consequences of what we are learning about the brain, to understand connections. I mean, we think of, for example, most people think of sight as about the eyes. Sight is about the brain.
Sure.
Most people think about, so many diseases, and they think of them as a disease, but they don't think of them as a disease of the brain. And people love explanations of how things are and how they work. I mean, that's what football play-by-play announcers do. They explain to you how the game is played. They explain you what happened in that play. And what those of us who love science have to do is explain the brain and explain the neural genetics and explain the human genome in the same way that storytellers tell a story, that sports announcers describe the event in front of them. You know, it has rising action, falling action. It has things that are in conflict. It has ideas that are profound. And I find that people really do want to learn. You know? And it's incumbent on the teacher, the person who's doing a podcast, the person who has access to a television program, you know, to find the most interesting way, you know, to connect the curiosity of the viewer with the remarkable qualities of either the story mm-hmm. or the person telling the story.
Do you sense that the public and policymakers and Pauls who fund health initiatives are more educated about the brain than they once were, and is funding brain research at appropriate levels?
Well, I you would know more about that than I would, as to whether it's at appropriate levels. I don't think that science in America is at appropriate levels. I think we need more. We need a more emphasis on it. I think it's the responsibility of people like me, who are communicators, responsibility of people like Eric Kandel, who are scientists. To communicate that and to communicate what it is, the consequences of an investment in science. It is, it has to do with health, it has to do with quality of life, it has to do with understanding who we are, what makes us human. All of those are big questions. But they're questions that people could be fascinated by in the hands of a gifted storyteller.
Are there some areas of brain research that you find most compelling or more compelling?
Well, I mean, I think for me, I suspect the thing that I like most is understanding sort of in the connection between the cellular connection between the brain, and the physical function, and how the disruption of that, mm-hmm. Can lead to disease and inability. I mean, for example, I have a very good friend that's living with ALS. And it's the most tragic thing of my life to see awesome toll that it takes because of the disruption of the process between the brain and muscular system.
Sure. And the frustration of them not being able to really come up with a drug to help solve that. Or maybe there's a genetic component down the line that can work.
But I mean, science on that matter, I mean, I think that's what you have to live for. Because it's, as all those things shut down and more, your functions are limited. You know, you those that love people that are living with disease, you know, pray for, support, invest in somehow that around the corner is something new that will change the landscape of it. And we're seeing it. You know, we're seeing it in gene therapy.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, but there's so many areas, opioid addiction, CTE.
Absolutely. Yep.
That, you know, that we need more research.
Yeah, I think in CTE we're beginning to get more research because there's a recognition of the kind of
right.
problem it is.
Sure.
You know, and so people with high-profile athletes, we recognize, you know, once they can do an autopsy,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The extent of the disease.
Where do you see brain research in 15 years?
Well, I think the velocity of what we've seen in the last 5 years, last 5 to 10 years, has been so great. That's an accelerating velocity. I mean, I think it's going to answer. And yet, if you talk to Eric and others, you know, we realize, in terms of a scale of 0 to 100, we're not nearly where we can be. So, I mean, I think that with the power of the tools that we're gaining in terms of imaging and other tools, that we're going to, and the velocity of building on what we've already learned, you know, we're going to answer a lot of the questions over the next 15 years that we want to answer. Understanding, you know, it's interesting you say that, because when I do the brain series and I have these awesome talents in front of me around my
sure.
table, I mean, if you know, you've watched the series, I often will say, what's the one question you want answered? You know, which is one of my favorite questions.
Sure.
And so each of those scientists will talk about their passion, what it is they want to do. And often the question they want answered is what their life's work is about. Because their life's work is about answering questions.
Right.
My life's work is about asking questions.
Sure. Well, I think that's a great place to end on. I can't thank you enough, and congratulations again on this award, and have a great evening here.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Pleasure to be here.
All right. Okay, so that's the Cerebrum Podcast for this month, and our guest, Charlie Rose. We'll see you next time. Good night.